Party on the family.
What'd you say, Carl?
Okay, call the meeting to order and entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our March 14th meeting.
I'll second.
Did you attend the meeting?
Any discussion?
I've been told it doesn't matter.
As reported. As reported. Our own favor, aye?
Aye. I just know the clerk does such a great job that I just can't imagine that there's a mistake. Thanks, sir.
Well, on the agenda, we have, under old business, Resolution 176, to set a public hearing for the proposed local law, number four, a local law adopting a hotel and motel occupancy tax. And anybody want to move it so we can discuss it? Move. Okay.
Second.
Open for discussion.
I understand there was some, I got some inside information about Airbnb and how the budget office can't accept funds for taxation except from New York State, and they can't accept them from private companies. Is that right?
No.
That's what I heard.
Okay. We have to take it from the operator of the hotel, motel, bed and breakfast. We can't accept
right.
it from a
the finance
a third
department
party.
Can't take it from a third party. That's what I meant.
So yeah.
They can only take tax money from the state.
Can I qualify?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I
Yes.
Okay. They can accept funds from whomever. It's a matter of who we can enforce this law against. And it's collecting and enforcing the law against the operators of the hotels and motels. So right now, we don't have the authority to, Mr. Gallo put yeoman's work into this and trying to come up with a way to address this issue and having an agreement with a third party, which would be Airbnb. The enabling statute or authorizing statute does not authorize us to enter into an agreement with a third party. We have to collect directly from the operators under the statute. So that's the dilemma with the current draft of the local law.
Could I ask a question? God forbid.
They always say things like, if I was going to buy something online, I really am supposed to pay the sales tax on that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who would pay it to?
I mean, forget me in business. I mean, John Jones, local guy, says, well, I want to pay it. It's not coming from a business. It's not coming. Who would accept it? Not the council?
You would have to give it to the county directly, I think. Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So if I
yeah, they do
to be
ask you on
upstanding.
Or you could do
your income tax. They ask you that
exactly, or you can do it on your income tax. That's another way to do it too. Is that you make provisions for when you do your annual income?
You know
tax.
Everybody.
So in other words, once a year when you file your
you
when I
your
file,
tax.
I would put a note that says mm-hmm. what would that the state would then mail. It would take that out of my return or something.
That's right. It'd be part of what you pay as far as on your return. It's noted on your return.
I don't have a problem with collecting sales tax from the proprietors. I mean, that's what businesses do. They collect sales tax and pay it to the state. Yeah. So what would be the problem with doing that? I mean, we'd have to, determine who's eligible to collect sales tax for their Airbnb and then make sure that they file their quarterly sales tax?
Well, let me just say quick. This is independent sales tax. This is just our local bed tax.
This is room occupancy tax.
Oh, right, it's not sales tax.
This is just our local bed tax that right. The county has authority on. So sales tax is its own ball of wax. But right now, myself and legislative council is at a bit of odds as far as our interpretation of the authorizing statute. We still hold a little bit broader of the interpretation of it. And recently, I just want to make the comparison to rumor marketers. So to Expedia, to Orbitz, Travelocity, big businesses that will buy blocks of rooms at a wholesale rate and then sell it at a profit to the consumer. So there is precedent as far as the courts are, not necessarily in statute, but how it's been interpreted in various courts.
For which entity, though? Which municipality, Mr. Gallo?
For New York City, but mm-hmm. but has a similar authorizing statute as Ulster, as far as our bound. And that, as a third-party intermediary, has been held to be able to remit back their portions of tax to the taxing authority or jurisdiction. So I'm trying to find parallels there that would allow us to pursue this type of activity right now.
I'm sorry. What was the reasoning why you said it couldn't be done?
And actually, it's also the county attorney's office, so I want to make it clear that's it's the county attorney's office and the three legislative councils.
Yeah, two, we all both agree, legislative council
all of
and minority
us,
council.
All three of us. It's the authorizing legislation, statute says that it has to be collected from the operator.
Sales tax, though.
No, bedroom tax.
Bed tax.
Yeah, sales tax is that. We're not talking about that. Yeah.
So you're saying it says it in our resolution or in
no,
state
in
law?
No, in the statute itself, who we can collect from. And I think there's a reason for that, is because it's a lot easier to go right to the operator to collect the funds, and if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then we can do enforcement, where it's a lot harder with a third-party agreement to go after them and enforce them. So I think there's a reason why this language was drafted by the state legislature. There's a reason why they drafted it this way. And every county does not have the same enabling statutory language.
Other counties?
Yeah, it's all different.
So like, for instance, Delaware County just passed something that collects a occupancy tax, mm-hmm. and they can do it, but we can't.
I have not looked at their enabling statute, but I would tell you, like Suffolk County, for instance, this is part of our conversations, is they're allowed to collect on campgrounds. We're not authorized to collect on campgrounds. Mm-hmm. We're not authorized to
all right, so our state, the resolution that we had, our assemblyman and senator pushed for us way back when, says we can't do it. So we would have to change it then to change that. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we just start taking the action to change it then?
Because it's complicated.
So they're.
Oh, I know it's complicated, but you know, I'm sure that you're not going to have a problem with legislative body.
So there are kind of two bones of contention right now. One, how we can neatly classify this type of private activity under the traditional hotel-motel scheme. That's one. Mm-hmm. The other one is our authority to collect the tax from the third party, i.e. Airbnb. So excluding the third party collection for a second, because that has not been done yet in New York. This is new ground. What other counties have been doing to go after short-term and vacation rentals is either what Delaware County did, which was a very expansive definition of hotel-motel to capture any and all activity that someone might be renting their house out for a profit. We'll take care of them all. Some places have gone after the rumor marketers that I mentioned earlier, which are the Expedias, Travelocities. Others, for instance, Essex.
Yeah, but don't you pay taxes when you book through Expedia anyway?
That's what I'm saying. As far as that third party permitting, I think there's a little bit to go down that road.
So what? Oh, right. So your argument is that they're already doing it
This is not for the collection, though. This is just for.
What is the answer to that? I mean, Expedia is now they're
collecting short term rentals
and Expedia. Giving it.
No, but hotels.
Right, well, hotels are different.
You're getting it through Expedia, so that's a third
anything
party.
Under right. 90 days of permanent occupancy is still
but
a
how do we
short-term
get
rent.
That occupancy tax from Expedia? Have we been getting that?
That I don't know. That
because
I don't
know. We're not getting
I
it.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, but if...
Only if they go to the front desk and pay for their room are we going to get it. Is that right?
I mean, I believe we're paying it. I mean, I book online using that all the time, Expedia or Travelocity or Kayak.
When when Erica talks about, you know, it being a complex issue, you know, when you deal with things like Airbnb, you're also dealing with local zoning issues, and you're, what constitutes a hotel. You know, there are certain places in the county, you know, the very weird zoning in this county in some areas. Gardner, under their master plan, only allows one gas station, in their law, and the gas station, you know, if anybody knows where the Mountain Brau House is, the Mountain Brau House is exactly 10 miles in three directions to the nearest gas station, and the people who own the place have been trying to get the, you know, master plan in Gardner changed. So you're going to need to have, like, wholesale zoning changes if we're going to start treating Airbnb like hotels.
Well, that's a town issue.
Well, it is, but our actions could impact the town zoning. We could be overruling in some areas, you know, home rule on that. Yeah. But the other concern that I have is that this is another case where we're trying to do something here that really needs to be done wholesale on the state level, and the state needs to decide how they're going to be classifying these things, because, you know, we have 62 counties who all could have different bed tax legislation.
We do that with the styrofoam.
We
do it with all
sorts of
things.
Disagree with it then too.
you know, I have to just let me say this, but for the sake of repeating myself, I'm glad that you guys brought this up. This is not a bitter argument. This is a good argument as to what happens. There's no question that there's not a level playing field.
Yeah.
And I had asked some folks to come down from up in the mountains, and they're on vacation last week and this week. Not to get into debate, just to say how it affects them.
Are they paying their taxes?
And, you know, I did chat. I didn't ask Erica's thoughts on it, but I mean, somebody outside said to me, well, one thing a B&B could do would be to go out of business and then next week become an Airbnb, and they wouldn't have to pay any tax. So this is something that is a fairness issue, and not to put word in Richard's mouth, but he said a couple of times, maybe we should do away with this tax or occupancy rule, whatever it may be, because that's sort of the balance right now of why it's coming to a head. So I really got to thank you guys for bringing it up. I mean, as I said, this is good stuff.
We're just trying to keep the discussion going.
Yeah, Dave?
I don't know. I understand where the argument, of course, is that according to our statute, it may not, you know, according to our stature, it may not fit. But having said that, you know, we're letting money go out the window there that we could be getting. And, you know, the point is, yeah, I can understand maybe if you want to do away with the tax, but the tax is being, bore by people that are coming from somewhere else to come visit here. So it cuts us a break.
I know. I'm just talking about fairness.
So, you know, and there's a fairness that you either do right, yeah, either not have one at all, or everybody that is involved in that type of business is paying. So, I mean, I think, you know, my take on it, I understand that maybe the, the county council and our council maybe a little bit of, you know, sort of don't feel it fits. I think, do it. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? Shoot us?
Mr. Chairman?
I mean,
yes,
the point is just do it and start collecting it. And then, if somebody challenges it, it gets challenged. And we have to defend it.
Carl?
I mean, you know.
I don't understand exactly how you become an Airbnb. So let's say you have a room or you have a cabin on your property or whatever. So you go to the website, you register with them.
Your house.
Do you have to prove that, you know, you have like a DBA or some kind of business format? Because if that's not the case, then maybe what we should incorporate is something like a registration fee for these Airbnbs, so the county knows that they're operating as a business. Require them to get like a DBA or something, because they should be paying federal taxes along with state and county taxes.
Well, that would be different than federal.
Well, no, but I'm saying is you have, you know, I had a photography business for many years, okay, and I had a DBA, and I had a business certificate from the state of New York, and I paid my quarterly sales tax. You know, I was a business, and that opened up doors for me. I could get insurance, and then I could, you know, I could operate as a business. But if we're opening up a can of worms with this law, because what we're doing is we're going to collect a bed tax from them, but we don't even know if they're a real business and what they're doing with the money. We don't know if they're actually, you know, paying federal taxes. We don't know if they're insured. We don't know, you know. So maybe the first step would be sort of a registration process with the county. How many of these B&Bs are out there? This is what the county requires you to do
How many did you say were done in Ulster County last year? Did you mention that? Was it 50,000 or?
There were 58,000 visitors. There were about 1,100 properties across, I think it was about 900 hosts.
What do you mean? You mean somebody owns more than two properties?
One home has two rooms in it, so each one's listed as a property.
Rich, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Carl, I just wanted, you know, I mean, what most people do, I mean, if you look at the stats that Evan provided, the average person brings in about $7,900 a year. So they're hardly businesses. The people that I know do the Airbnb, a few of my friends, they do it to pay their school and land taxes. If they make $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 and pay their taxes, they're happy. I don't know for sure, but I would assume if you're getting a check, they're paying through Airbnb, and then Airbnb cuts you a check. It's all tracked by the federal government, so they're putting it on their taxes. But this is no different than renting a house on the Jersey Shore. It's no different than renting a house on Lake George. It's no different than renting a house in Cape Cod. It's not rocket science. I don't think all those people are registered as businesses in those resort areas. I mean, I think our job is just to look and like Dave said, I mean, is there an opportunity to get revenues? And Evan said, level the playing field. But we certainly... you know, when people come up and they rent houses here, they go out to dinner, they shop in the local supermarkets, they buy beer and wine at the local liquor and stores, they're going to Mohonk, they're going to shows and plays. I mean, to shut this spigot off, to me, would be crazy. I mean, these are people that come up here to spend money. And if they're, you know, the one or two complaints I've heard, well, they're making a lot of noise. Well, then you don't have to call the police, because 99% of them are good. We're going to hear about the 1% that maybe have a good time. But to me, this isn't rocket science. And I know the discussion about the legality of it is we have to settle. But in terms of regulating them and stuff,
for the registration piece, what we called for in here was the operator going to the county to get a certificate of tax. We wanted to leave it up to the municipality to regulate as far as if you wanted to, you know, regulate under B&B laws, hotel laws, whatever. We wanted to leave that extra local. But
and again, you know, one thing that I think that we should be cognizant of when we're talking about these things is that there's a wide range of properties that you can rent on Airbnb. Everything from a room in a house that may have five rooms, which would be more like a hotel, or like Rich was saying, it could be you're renting out a whole house for 2 weeks. Is that hotel or bed and breakfast like?
Or it could be an igloo.
It could be many things. But my thing is, do we want to tax somebody who's coming up and spending $2,000 to rent somebody's house for a week? The same way we would regulate somebody who's having a two-night stay at Mohonk, or a two-night stay at the Holiday Inn.
That's why I think this is a great discussion.
Yeah.
I really and truly do. I use the example when Eric and I were chatting about it. Some folks that I know that have B&B or whatever the description is, a small motel, and up in the mountains, people come for the Festival of Voice and all these little things, and they used to rent them their rooms and they'd eat, and now they rent a house next door.
Yeah.
From somebody who's not paying any tax, where they were paying 8% on the room plus 2%. So, but it's not going away.
Right.
So, I don't think we can pass anything today.
We just don't want this to die today.
And I just speak to you about that. I mean, it's a great discussion. If it goes away, it goes away. If we Richie and I sort of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but somebody's like, hey, if you can't make it fair, then bag it. Of course, part of our law is that you, if you rent the place for what, less than 3 months?
90 days.
Then you're subject to it. But if you rent the house for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, you're not subject to it. So it's rather arbitrary and capricious in its own way. So I would like to continue this, but I think somebody would like to move to table it, if that's the right word, or
postpone.
I mean, I don't want to be into this business of tabling things forever.
Yeah.
Because I live with that.
No, I'll make a motion to postpone it.
Can I just make a quick comment?
Yes.
You know, another thing about the Airbnbs, or the VRBO, or whatever it's called, is there's two, to me, there's two issues. There's one, there's second homeowners that have houses and residents up here that are renting them out when they're not here. To me, that's really good because somebody's using the house. They're using our restaurants. They're using our, mm-hmm. our local services when the homeowner's not here. He or she, they just don't, you know, they don't come up for the weekend. The other one is there's homeowners that used to do rentals for a year, 2 years, 5 years. They'd rent them out to families. They're not out by us. A lot of times they're not doing that anymore. They're getting more money by renting them to people coming up from the city for the weekend, and they're getting double or triple the monies in a month than they would be from somebody just writing a rental.
You know, less wear and tear on the house.
Less wear and tear. What I'd like, I think a serious discussion should be, instead of, if we decide to move forward with the sale, with this 2% tax, is instead of investing it, just putting it back in the budget to pay our bills, I think affordable housing is going to be a concern, and especially in areas like Marbletown, Woodstock. I had a wrestling family that their owner sold their house, and they couldn't find a spot to rent in our school district because there was, they were either too expensive or they're coming off the market. A friend of ours, her and her husband, she just had a baby. Her family comes in. They're looking to rent a house for a year because they live in North Carolina, that they can come up and visit the new grandchild. They cannot find anything to rent. These are find anything to rent. So they actually are up now, and they do the vacation by rental for a week.
And you know, Richard, you brought up a really good point. People that buy a house from the city that have made money and they invest it, and they just rent it all the time.
They're renting it by vacation by rental because they want to come up some weekends. So they black out the weekends they're coming up, and then they're going to rent it out the other weeks, which is a win for all of us because that's people in our county, that's people spending money, that's people that love this county
it's
and maybe want to invest
in
it anyways.
But when
people are taking houses they've rented for years to people and saying, why am I going to rent to somebody? I got wear and tear, I got kids in and out. I'm just going to do vacation by rental. I can fill it up 2 weekends a month
and
make the same money in rent. And
my son's girlfriend's sister rents a house up in their house for, during the hit season. She gets $8,000 for the month.
You know what? I'll tell you.
What's the name?
I don't actually
We'll tax it.
You know what? I'm going away from,
you're talking
from
a lot of
June
money.
27th till July 4th, and I'm going to go on VRBO, and I'll rent my house out for 10 days. John lives right next door. He can watch it. I'm going to be gone for 10 days.
Right.
I'm going to rent it out. What do I?
Well, John had an opportunity to do that, and he wouldn't do it. Because he don't want anybody else walking around his house.
Right. I mean, they do that all the time in Florida.
You're going to see that.
Okay. If I might, there's a motion been seconded. All in favor?
Aye. And just for the,
and yeah. Fine. Let's
and for the purpose, just very quickly, for the purposes of everybody, this isn't going to go away. I know that the attorneys have plans to all sit down and brainstorm some solutions. So,
and if I may, this is not hostile.
No.
This is nothing hostile about this, in my opinion. It makes sense, and if the attorneys can figure out a way to do it, or if we need the legislature to do something, or Albany to do something, we can try.
Yep.
And then it can become hostile, maybe, if some folks don't want it. But it's not going away. So I thank you guys.
Thank you.
And I really mean that. It's good stuff.
Thank
So it's being postponed, and I agree with it. I guess as a sponsor, I can, you know, it's not like it was being postponed because nobody wants to bring it up.
Right.
And so I thank everybody for doing that. I guess, what is this here? I just see.
That's back.
I mean, everybody's doing it now. New Jersey's doing it, trying to come up with a solution for it.
You know, I know I'm on the Casco watershed, and one of our board members, we were talking about it up there, he's going to a wedding out in Montana or Wyoming in this summer, and they Airbnb'd the place, his whole family, had it all set up, and they got a letter in the mail from Airbnb saying the town outlawed him. So they found him a comparable property in the next town over. Said the town outlawed big short-term rentals in there in the town, and it's a resort town. I don't know, it's in one of those, you know, fishing and skiing towns.
An interesting wrinkle too. My buddy just booked 3 condos along the boardwalk of Atlantic City in a tower, but in a hotel tower over Airbnb. So here is a legitimate hotel utilizing this service, now potentially skirting their own local bed tax laws.
Okay.
Can you get around that?
Yeah, thanks. This was good. Now we have before us Resolution 185, authorizing the chairman of the legislature to execute a contract extension of the sales tax agreement with the city of Kingston, referred to this committee. Legislative sponsors, Legislative Donaldson and Legislative Berkey. Can we move it for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second? Second? Somebody's got a second.
I'll second.
Can I second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Can I second it? Okay, because I would do that. Jay told me I'm not allowed to do that stuff. Huh? All right. David?
All right, there is an issue. I did get a call today from the alderman at large. My understanding is I think the thing's supposed to come out tomorrow. Did you get a call?
I had heard that they're hoping for tomorrow, that they're hoping that they've ironed out all the wrinkles up in Albany.
All right, yeah, because that's what I got from the alderman at large. I talked to him today about that. You know, so... I mean, my concern, I put this in because I think the last time the county executive decided to play chicken with this type of issue, it cost the county a significant amount of money with the assemblyman. And, you know, this in a way is also being doing a similar thing. And I wanted to justify some of these aspects. In other words, the last comptroller's report came out that $80 million of county property is off the tax rolls in the city of Kingston, so it comes from the comptroller's office, the last report they did. That, of course, does not count the nonprofits that are attracted to the city because of the county services here. It also does not, you know, point in that, you know, there is absolutely no zero bridges and roads done in the county. Last year, the county did over $30 million dealing with that type of issue, with none of them in the city of Kingston, of course. And the point is also, it is the cultural center of the county, whether you like that or agree with that, it technically is. There's a number of issues there, and of course the city does have the right to preempt. It would cost them dearly if they did in the end, but it would cost the county dearly also. I think the estimate would be about $20 million the first year, $28 the second year, if the county still got the 1%. Now, what would happen with the 1%? How would that change? That means the county could lose another, what is it, $20
million? $26
million. Well, and that's so the number, it's going to get up to $46 million a year. So when we look at that issue, now my understanding is there is some movement for a face-saving move here on the county's position and with the city. So having said that, today is April. So it is, I mean, we have to do something by the following month. So I'm willing to wait. I was advised tomorrow it's supposed to have the plan coming out. I have not seen the plan. I give an idea of what it is, which I'm not at liberty to say, but in other words, it was, you know, even though I, you know, I found out a little bit about it, even though they were told they're not supposed to talk to me about anything.
What can you say?
That's what the, I guess, that office advised.
Huh?
Not,
oh.
Why can't he say
talk
it?
To me about anything?
I don't even
why
know.
Why can't he say it?
Because it's sort of an understanding.
Oh, you know, but you can't say.
I know a
you're
little
sworn
bit.
To secrecy.
No,
okay, that's
I'm,
cool.
How do we know?
By
you know,
the way,
you're
listens to the minutes.
Us.
It's going to be after tomorrow anyway.
I don't know. Actually, I have an idea of what it was. In other words,
you know,
my understanding of what it was. But having said that, I don't know what's happened because they've also had to talk with the state controller because there were a little problem with the original way they were going to do it. The controller said that it couldn't be done that way. So I don't know what this final thing is. I mean, it's a, you know, it's probably going to be dealt with dealing with growth a certain amount. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. In the end, the legislative body still has to pass it, so it's got to be okayed by us. In the end, the Common Council of the City of Kingston has to pass it. It has to be okayed by them. So, I mean, that's the real gist of it. So, I mean, if we wanted to pass this and say we wanted to stick to status quo, we could do that. I mean, that's the legislature has that power to do that. But
pass Ways and Means, if you don't mind me asking.
It's got to come here before it goes to Ways and Means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just so everybody understands real quick, the reason that this resolution would come here is one of the things in creating this new committee, the Government Efficiency and Review Committee is the liaison to the towns. And this having to do with the city and the towns, that's why it came here before going to Ways and Means.
Right. And my take on it was I don't believe that, you know, and I don't know, I still, for the life of me, don't understand the crisis that the county's in, that they're trying to force a change in the sales tax distribution.
Carl, well, anybody?
No, I mean, I just know that 5 years ago, it was 10 and 2.
No, it was not.
No.
Oh, no. What was the last agreement? When was it 10 and 2?
98.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, long 20 years ago.
All right. I mean,
no, it was done with that fact that's what happened. And despite what has been said by Rich Charantine, and I have a great deal of respect for him, but I think he's remembering things that are not didn't happen. Because, for one, I was on the legislative body at the time when that changed, and there was no mention of safety net whatsoever in that agreement. Number two, I also talked to Jim Satile, who was the alderman at large at the time and was in the room with the negotiation with Dan Alfonso, and he said that it was never that. He said DR came with the papers in his hand, said he was going to filing papers, that he was going to push to preempt.
Well, you know,
and that's what it was about. He said that he needed the 1.5 because he had collapsing sewers, he had this and so on and so forth. He made the argument. And apparently Dan felt it was good, but he also made the argument because he met with the town supervisors to get the extra 1% in that.
I kind of have enjoyed the letters from the towns about keeping it like it is. And, of course, everybody's interests are their own interests. And I hear in the press or in comments that we saved the county, we saved the city $3 million or $2 million, whatever the amount was. I just want to say one thing. I voted for the safety net legislation because it was the right thing to do. Olive was spending like $28,000 a year, maybe a little bit more, and maybe if you even want to add the election cost to it, it was 40 or 50. Olive's share of the total pie is slightly less than 7%. Saugerties has the most at around 10. Excuse me, 8. The city of Kingston is slightly less than that. Woodstock is a little ahead of Olive. We have the smallest population. So our town board saved $30,000 or $40,000 of their budget, but spread across the taxpayers in Olive, we're paying $250,000 to $300,000. Now, maybe because of my advanced age, I told everybody it's the right thing to do.
I don't want to hear that everybody else is now paying more because they're picking up the city portion, because I know tons of people in my neck of the woods that go to the city for the services and where to live, etc. So to me, it was the right thing to do. Now,
as a point of information, what you're talking about, there are actually 1,004 affordable housing units in the city of Kingston. 1,004.
Listen, before I lose my train of thought.
So just the point of information is that actually if you use a number of two people per household, just use that as a number, because some of them have more, some of them have less. But so if you use two, that would be 2,008 and a population of 24,000. So you're talking about 8%, over 8% of the population is in affordable housing in the city of Kingston. So
well, just to let me finish up, though.
A taxing burden for the city.
I did it because it was the right thing to do. And to start looking and saying, well, we saved them money, so we have to save money for ourselves. I mean, maybe the Marbletown supervisor gave himself a raise. I don't know if anybody else did, but we did. We gave ourselves a raise. I'd like to point out that I don't think there's a foot of county road in the city of Kingston, and they still pay their county taxes, and incorporated in it is their appropriate 7.2% of the highway budget. I'd like to postpone this, Dave, because I don't want to vote on it and have the mayor say, hey, you knothead, we didn't need the money in the first place. He's got to stand up and say it's okay to whatever the negotiations were. It's okay. I accept it. Fine. If he says, I mean, every one of these letters like I just got today says, I got you, Kenny. I can see it. Fine. My peripheral vision is still good. The rest of it isn't good. But it says, you know, they think it's in everybody's best interest to continue the existing problem until there's some sort of a playing field. You know, I like to think about the flow control to see if Kingston suffered more than almost anybody else, because they have fixed costs. They're not like me in the mountains that I can either elect to have it picked up or I can go to the transfer station. And that was nothing more than a backdoor tax increase. You eliminate the safety net and then you say, here, ladies and gentlemen in the communities, you pay this yourself. I would be prepared to vote for this, but as you guys point out, something may come out tomorrow and the next day. And if the mayor trumpets it and said, this is exactly what we want, what am I going to do? If he says, it's not fair, we should at least leave the percentages the same, because nobody knows if the percentages are going to yield the same amount.
Dave knows.
Huh?
Dave knows. He just can't tell.
Well, he won't tell.
I don't know.
But he's sworn to secrecy, Rich. That's good stuff.
I don't know.
So that's my comment, Kenny. I'm sorry.
Rather than belabor the point with a bunch of debate, it seems like there's support to postpone it. I just make a motion we postpone it for a month.
I just wanted to make one quick comment.
I'll second it for the speaker.
I wanted to make
on
one
the postpone.
Go
ahead, Carl. I hear you.
Okay. You know, it is true what you're saying about the affordable housing in Kingston. So Kingston has 22,000 population, something like that.
24, about.
Sulpis has like 9,700. If the comptroller was to do a report on all the wholly exempt properties in the town of Sulpis.
But is the county doing that to them?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. I'm just going to, because I did that in 2007 through our assessor's office. And all the wholly exempt and not-for-profits in our town, we would realize a full taxation benefit of about $11 million, and we only have 9,700 residents in our town. So those 9,700 residents are footing the bill for all those not-for-profits and wholly exempt. I'm not complaining, but you can't compare oranges to apples when you say that, you know, yes, you have.
But I'm just using county. The county has taken them off that. In other words, I'm not counting the religion, I'm not counting the nonprofits.
My issue is with the state.
I understand where you're coming from.
You know what? I'd support something to tax them, every one of them. because to me, I think it's absurd. Some of the most expensive property in Ulster County is off the tax rolls that are sitting on that river.
Remember when the
I find that absurd.
I was run out of the room here during the flow control we wanted to talk about, remember? Something that is legal.
Yes.
Districts, refuse districts, which would have hit the tax exempts.
I don't remember you being run out of the room.
Well, you looked at me, you glared at me.
Well, yeah, we were on different terms back then.
Yes. All right. All in favor?
Harris Brothers.
Opposed.
Capri.
Carried.
I mean, like he's...
Well, we really got a lot of gum here tonight.
I'll co-sponsor it with you, Beyond.
Well, it's a state law. It's the only thing you can do. No, it's a state law. Only exempt and not-for-profits are state law.
Separation of church and...
I think if you fill out a non-for-profit form...
I think a town should be able to vote on anything that becomes tax-exempt. Maybe the community. Because remember, they're going to pay those taxes forever.
But separation of church and state...
But that's
but
different.
It's not a church there. It's a resort.
I have a little piece of new business, if you'll indulge
me. New business. We're moving on to new business.
It's absurd.
You know, I just wanted to make the committee aware of something that I think that maybe should be looked at. You know, Chairman Parody and I had co-sponsored a electric vehicle charging station use policy last year, and it stated a certain number of hours that you can be parked in one of those spots. And I have a concern about the one here, which if we're talking about it as a revenue generator because it's going to be tourism related and people are going to come here to use it, our county car sits out in one of those two spots. One of our new electric cars sits out in one of those two spots all day and all night. And you know, I've had some of the staff members here just take a gander out the window every hour or so and see, and it gets moved, but normally it just gets moved from one spot to the other spot. I think that is sort of outside of the you know, the intended use of these things. I have no problem with charging the county vehicles in these you know, charging stations. I think that that's probably one of the best uses for them because, you know, it's the taxpayers' electric too. But
that wasn't the intention.
It wasn't their intention. I'm saying it's the best use. But you know, so that having been said, I think we need to stay on that a little bit and make sure that that's being enforced. Also, as part of that policy, we didn't receive in March, like we were supposed to, the report that was required as part of that policy as well. So that's, I think, something that we should look at.
Thank you.
How often are two vehicles charged at the same time? Does it happen quite a bit?
Yeah.
I saw the car there tonight when I pulled in.
So I've seen I know I'm going to get yelled at after this. I've seen Legislator Green and Mayor Noble's car parked there at the same time. So I've seen it used both at the same time. But
both of them do just two hours.
There's no tourism in those two cars.
Yeah, no, there's not.
All right. You know, in that regard, I have gotten two folks talk to me about the method that could be used to review the performance of some of our contract agencies. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know how we do that? Evan, do you guys audit or review outside agencies who the county gives $1 million to, or $3 million, or $500,000?
We are in the process of initiating a review of not-for-profits right now.
In the process of?
Reviewing the top five paid not-for-profits.
And so statutorily, you're allowed to do that?
We can follow the money. Yes,
We
can follow the money, yes. And we did do, last year we did, not necessarily along those lines, but we did do a sampling of a contract compliance review where we pulled five random contracts and just saw if certain terms were met. But we can talk more about that.
Some of the contract agencies, depending on which ones they are, go through legislative programs committee. The legislative program ones like CASA, along with, you know, the college, of course, Cornell Cooperative, UPAC, you know, a lot of the, what they refer to as, we refer to them as legislative programs because we fund them on our side, on the budget.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting because some of them, some quarters are considered sacred cows, but by the same token, you have to do some sort of review to find out if it's working.
You got family, right. Family of Woodstock is probably the largest receiver of all.
I mean, in that regard, I have a letter.
They're starting to diversify a little bit with Family Services and some other organizations, but for the most part, it's still Family of Woodstock.
In that regard, we can send a letter out as free.
But they give
pretty
they
low hanging fruit stuff, but the vending machines. And we said we got a letter back from Mr. Ryder about it, and Mark Ryder, and
he's looking.
We'll see where that goes.
He ordered 25 of the 27, or 23 of the 25. Yeah, I remember that.
One of the other things that.
Wait,
I mentioned
a letter back.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
there's water.
There's communication between he and Vicky.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't formally responded to your letter.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see a letter.
No. These right here are copies of local laws since 2008, when the charter started. Which, at this point, Carl has a copy. I sit up there when I have nothing to do and go through some of them to see if somehow prioritize what we think we should be looking at.
Is that before?
I'm sure you were. Pardon?
Before or after the wine?
Just before. Just before. But, you know, I have a feeling, I mean, a couple were just mentioned today, there could be an awful lot, and some of it is going to be more superficial than we might want, but by the same token, there's nothing wrong with that. One of the ones that took place long before the charter was when we brought up, it was the million-dollar PLAs. And it's sort of going a little past what we consider to be some sort of a reasonable date, because Jay in particular right now is doing this same period of time for legislation. So it could reach the theater of the absurd if we have too much. But, of course, they are not being added on, so we can get something out of it. But the policy was in 2001. It was passed with regard to project labor agreements for construction projects in excess of $1 million. Should it be reviewed? Sure, it should. If it's not what we want, get rid of it. Jay was able to find some thoughts on project labor agreements from a law firm in Mineola that I suspect, without looking at it, was used to justify them, which is okay. I don't have any. Basically, I think maybe they helped the county a semblance of order. There was no labor disagreements during their process, but it didn't turn out the way everybody wanted. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Anybody for the good of the order?
Let me ask you about the Healthy Choice things. So what happened with the Healthy Choice things? If they sent a letter out and then he called or something?
He's communicated to Vicky, but he hasn't formally responded to that yet.
I can,
but
can
he said that they complied.
He didn't answer that. He said he got the memo on a Monday or Tuesday, and the next day he said he conducted a survey of 25 of 27 vending machines, which we thought might be a little optimistic for rapid completion, since it took Don the better part of a day to figure out what was in the one just downstairs.
He's got a spreadsheet, and he looked up all the caloric contents and everything as to whether or not it complied with the local law.
So I don't believe Mr. Ryder was prepared to formally respond to the memo yet.
But he said that he viewed 25 and 27?
That's what he said.
In a day?
To Vicky, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good.
Now,
yes.
One of the things, and again, one of the purposes of this committee, you know, it was former legislator Robert Parody who had sponsored the Healthy Vending Options Law. I thought I'd voted against it, but turns out I didn't. one of the things is, the granola bars that go in these machines are, under this law, considered an unhealthy snack, and Doritos are considered a healthy snack. So it's something that we
How
might want to read.
How did you figure that out? How did you come
well,
up with that?
Well, that's right. As a matter of fact, one of the things
fat.
That Robbie
calories
fat
One of the pieces of legislation that Robert did author that passed was what was it called, Jay? Do you remember? At kids at risk going into schools and trying to work with the mental health department and the school administration, the schools, to find kids at risk and try to intervene. And I've been putting stuff together that I'm getting from him and around here. And I have a couple of copies of letters sent from the school administration to others. And one of them said, well, we're not going to comply on the advice of our attorneys. Well, attorneys are not supposed to make policy. But in essence, what he was saying was, we don't really want to know if a kid's at risk. Because if something goes wrong, we're not liable then.
Right.
And the problem, this heroin thing, which Robbie was very, very concerned about just those 3 or 4 years ago. Could it have made a difference? I can't say that. But it was poo-pooed. It's in existence. It's law today in Ulster County. But it's not being even looked at. And we either got to get rid of things like that or decide if they're not important or important.
And the granola bar, it may be because they may not be peanut-free. That's one of the criteria on being a healthy snack, is it would need to be peanut-free. Or gluten-free.
We'll let the purchasing guy make those decisions. Yeah, I don't want to make those decisions. Anybody else?
I move we adjourn.
Well, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
What about like the Ellenville Million? Has anything started to flow with that yet? Where we can
the what, Rich?
The Ellenville Million money?
I mean, we ordered that? Or they've been spending quite a bit of it. Maybe the committee could ask. I know... Legislator Rodriguez and Maloney are on the EDA board of directors, and the EDA board is overseeing the Ellenville Million. So,
there was something in the paper. They just put some money into some building down there.
The Hunt Memorial Building?
Yeah, something like that.
They're also doing some facade work that's ongoing. I was down... I was invited to speak at the Noonday Club down in Ellenville, and there was quite a bit of work going on. I know the Shadowland Theater... also has some work being done there as well.
What about the soap is 50 cents?
Well, we're still waiting for the state to relax the not-for-profit.
I mean, find out where it was spent.
Absolutely.
Because part of that...
yeah, they've got records.
Part of that Ellenville Million was also support from us, which was not actual money going.
Wasn't it anticipation of funds?
Yeah,
it's the gambling funds that are going to
sort of.
We get that little bit of money out of
some of it was technical assistance from us, so we
because
pay
they
our
did
staff
that
salary.
County
yeah, the $75,000 I think was administrative salaries at the EDA.
How much of that have we used?
Yeah, the licensing.
I think it's
eight,
we're supposed to get like $800,000.
They were given back the license.
$900,000.
All right, I think we voted to adjourn, didn't we?
No,
we
haven't.
Yeah,
Ken
made a motion.
Rich, I'll get you the information on that.
It sounds better.
I was thinking
right,
about a meeting. That could be something we could see.
Okay. Just what you want us to find out, Rich?
No, we can discuss it. I know they're just. It's still a new program, so.
Kevin Roberts likes to say he's not greedy. He'll take the platykill $750,000.
On the motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Second.
Opposed.
Carl seconded. All in favor, aye.
You made the motion.
Yes.
What time's the next meeting? 6:30 or 6?
Man.